It is a Thursday afternoon, so we are almost to the weekend. It is partly cloudy here at West End, and you just heard in our forecast, chances of some scattered showers around, and that crazy storm Raphael hanging out in the Gulf looks like it's not going to head in this direction. Some people believe that the Democrats decided, well, what the hell, we'll just send it over toward Texas and Mexico. Those who believe the Democrats are controlling storms. I'm Scoot on the air. I don't believe that, by the way. You know, we're still continuing to talk about the results of the election because, you know, by every means, this was an extraordinary campaign season with just such intense rhetoric on both sides. But I would say particularly from Donald Trump. I mean, the rhetoric was just, it was deep, very deep. For example, Donald Trump did say that he would end the war in Ukraine after day one day after he's elected. Well, I think he probably meant one day after he's inaugurated because, you know, here we are 2 days after he was elected and he doesn't have any power yet. So one day after he's elected. But the Kremlin is already saying, no, that's not going to happen. Donald Trump is not going to end the war. Although, you know, I don't know. Maybe he and Elon Musk make a couple of phone calls to Vladimir Putin and maybe they work something out so they start to get things in place. So it is possible. It is possible. And this would be a good thing because the war would end. So if he can end the war in one day, man, that would be great. But what if they're making plans now to have it to where the war ends the day after he takes office? If Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin do have this relationship, and Elon Musk talks to Vladimir Putin apparently on a regular basis, if they all get together, they could plan for that to possibly happen. So I'm not going to rule out that possibility. Some of you will remember this. The hostages that were held by Iran, the American hostages were held by Iran. I forget the exact timeline, but they were released the day Ronald Reagan either won the election or was inaugurated. I'm not sure which. But the timing, so in other words, Reagan's people were working behind the scenes with the Iranians. So the Iranians were released the day that Reagan became president. And people were just stunned. So don't think these things don't happen, because they do. And who knows? It could happen. All right. I'm glad you're with us on this the Thursday afternoon. We have a lot to talk about. The Democrats are beginning the soul-searching process of figuring out what happened. And some of them seem to think they know who's to blame for the blowout loss by Kamala Harris.
President Biden has made his first public remark since Donald Trump's election, as some of Kamala Harris's backers blame the president for her loss. Some Harris allies believe the president cost Democrats the White House by waiting so long to leave the race, leading to the man he beat 4 years ago preparing for a return to office.
We accept the choice the country made.
In the Rose Garden, the president praised Harris's campaign, but did not directly address the public's seeming repudiation of his presidency. Instead, he noted his administration's accomplishments, ones he says will benefit the nation for years to come.
It's been an historic presidency.
And while he notes many are struggling with the race's outcome, democracy worked its will, and the nation will prevail.
We're going to be okay.
Sagar Meghani, Washington.
That's what he's like to say. We're going to be okay. All right, okay. We're okay, right? All right, data is starting to come together showing how Donald Trump won his second term in the White House.
Donald Trump won the election by holding on to his core base of voters and adding a few more, including some who have traditionally been part of the Democratic base. That finding comes from AP VoteCast, a survey of more than 120,000 voters nationwide. Donald Trump picked up a small but significant share of black and Hispanic voters and made narrow gains with men and women. But Kamala Harris wasn't able to make enough of her own gains. Donald Trump about doubled his share of young black men. About 3 in 10 black men under the age of 45 voted for him. Nationally, about 8 in 10 black voters supported Kamala Harris. She won more than half of Hispanic voters, though they were more open to Donald Trump than they were in 2020. Among women voters, Kamala Harris had the advantage, winning 53% to Donald Trump's 46%. I'm Rita Foley.
Now, yesterday somebody called the show and said, you see, Trump's base was big enough to elect him. No, Trump's base wasn't big enough and isn't big enough to elect him. There are just not enough numbers there. Trump needed other people beyond his base to elect him to office. And you just heard the report clarifying that, yes, the data shows that Trump did reach beyond his base because that's how he won the election. The Department of Justice sees the writing on the wall now, and they're starting to wind down their criminal investigations of Donald Trump.
Special Counsel Jack Smith is evaluating how to wind down the two federal criminal cases against Donald Trump before he takes office in January. We're hearing that from a person familiar with Smith's thinking. Now, this is a result of a longstanding Justice Department policy that says sitting presidents cannot be prosecuted. And we're told that Smith intends to comply with that policy and move to end both of the cases before Trump is inaugurated in January.
All right. European leaders are not waiting around for American politics to stabilize. They're striking out on their own.
French President Emmanuel Macron has said that Europe should not remain static in the face of China and the U.S. and urged his counterparts to take action to ensure that Europe becomes a fully independent power. Speaking at a European political community summit in Budapest, Macron said the world was made of two blocs, the United States of America on one side and China on the other, both of which, he said, above all, seek their own interests. He added, both decide to be much less, if I may say so, complacent with international rules, or in any case, respectful of them. Macron went on to say the world was made up of herbivores and carnivores, adding, if we decide to remain herbivores, carnivores will win, and we will be a market for them. He suggested instead for European nations to choose to be at least omnivores, choosing not to be aggressive, but able to defend themselves. I'm Karen Chamas.
Kamala Harris gave her a big concession speech yesterday afternoon, and she tried to uplift her supporters.
Kamala Harris is urging backers to accept the election's results and also keep up the fight for their beliefs.
The outcome of this election is not what we wanted.
Harris says while she's conceding the race to Donald Trump,
I do not concede the fight that fueled this campaign.
In a speech at Howard University, her alma mater, which was to be the site of her victory speech, Harris says the fight must go on.
In the voting booth, in the courts, and in the public square.
Harris says she called Trump to congratulate him. The White House says President Biden did the same, inviting his predecessor turned successor to meet with him soon. The president will address the election results Thursday. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
And how ironic is this? Kamala Harris will be the one to certify Donald Trump's re-election next January.
Donald Trump's presidential win will be certified in Congress in January by the candidate he beat, Vice President Kamala Harris. Under the Constitution, it's the role of the Senate president, and that's the vice president, to declare the result of a White House election. In theory, that happens January 6th, but it didn't happen 4 years ago. Trump refused to accept defeat, sparking a violent insurrection at the Capitol January 6, 2021, when then-Vice President Mike Pence was to certify Democrat Joe Biden's win. Pence certified the win a day later. In 2000, after a grueling Florida recount battle, Al Gore conceded the presidency. And in January, as vice president, he certified George W. Bush's win. I'm Julie Walker.
All right, let's get to some of your calls. If you want to join us with a comment, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. And I've gotten messages from people that indicate that a lot of Americans are in a very, very dark, depressed place right now because of the outcome of the election. You know, this election was just so emotional for both sides. You know, one side is just celebrating, they're exuberant, they're thrilled, they have confidence in the future of America because Donald Trump won. And then the other side is just really down and depressed and in a dark place because they're concerned about the future of America. So how are you feeling today? Let's go to Joe in Metairie. Hey, Joe, welcome to WWL.
Hey, Scoot. I'm just have a quote here. I was listening to two political science professors on TV, that was saying they cannot believe over 60 million people could cast a vote for Kamala Harris. And they called those people ignorant and stupid. Do you agree with that?
No. What do you call them?
I call them dumb.
Okay, well,
Joe, hold on a second.
Hold on.
She had nothing for somebody to cast a vote for that woman.
Joe, that's your opinion, and you're
really
entitled to.
When they got that many stupid people.
All right, Joe, did you like it when Joe Biden said that Trump supporters were garbage? Did you like that?
No, I didn't like it.
Why are you calling Kamala Harris supporters stupid? I mean, do you like that? Is that appropriate?
Them stupid because the two political professors called them stupid.
You can find two professors who can say anything you want them to say. Where did you hear that? I'm sure it was conservative media.
No, I didn't tell them to say nothing. I listened to them say it on television.
Okay, I'm sure it was on Fox News. Joe, I'm not going to get into a yelling argument with you today. You know, but I think it's really stupid of you to say you don't want to be called garbage by Biden, but yet you want to call Kamala Harris supporters stupid. And you know, two professors said that. I'm sure you saw that on a conservative network, and it is their goal to present conservative ideology. You live, like many Americans, in an echo chamber. And just because two professors say something doesn't mean it's true. It's just their opinion. And it's amazing that we even let you on the air, Joe, because it's not that you have a different opinion. It's just that you're just an angry guy. You're just a mean, angry guy. And, you know, it's not fair for you to call people who voted for Kamala Harris stupid. Some of those people may have a higher IQ than you. And you should see some of the texts that we get in every time you call. People don't have a lot of respect for you. But we don't expose that. But don't call Kamala Harris's people stupid. You know, maybe some of them voted for Kamala Harris because they couldn't stand your guy. So maybe they were smart enough to think, I don't like Trump. I'm going to vote for Kamala Harris. But, you know, I don't like when mean-spirited people call the show, and then you get upset when I call you on it. But if you don't want to be called garbage, then don't turn around and be hypocritical and call Kamala Harris supporters stupid. Pandora, is this Pandora? Pandora,
yeah,
you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
I'm fine, and I'm on a tirade, a short one.
Okay, go ahead.
I am very, very, very happy today.
Okay.
And it doesn't, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
It doesn't depend on those two, whether they were elected or not. I'm responsible for my own happiness.
I like that.
So I think people need to put on their big girl and boy panties and move on, because you don't know if you're going to be here tomorrow. We're not guaranteed anything. Who knows if we're here in 4 years for everything everybody's worried about.
You know, and I thought about that with the recent passing of Eric Paulson from Channel 4. You know, Eric just announced that he was dealing with cancer, and just within no time he was gone. And that's why we should always live every day of our lives. And nobody should have their happiness. I agree with you. Nobody should have their happiness depend upon who is president of the United States.
There's a good little article people can look up. I used to Google it at work. It's under codependency, and it's called Only You Can Make You Happy.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, I like that.
It might help a lot of people.
Pandora, I'm glad you called. I think there's something inherently wrong with people who define their happiness by their politics, and a lot of people do. And a lot of people are today. And by the same token, you know, don't be depressed because the person who you wanted to win didn't win. Don't be depressed by that. You know, I mentioned, I'm trying to find it right now, but I mentioned the email that I received. I get a lot of emails, but I read a few of them on the air. And it was from a woman named Lucy, and she is a huge Trump supporter. And she just was talking about how she knows that I'm really bothered and that I'm depressed and I'm down and I'm so upset and I'm trying to camouflage it. I'm trying to hide it, but I'm really depressed because Trump won. No, listen, Lucy, I went to the Pelicans game last night. I had ninth row seats, nine rows up from the floor, babe. Man, I was living life last night. They lost. I'm not happy about that, but man, I was living life. Prime section, nine rows up from the floor at the Pelicans game last night. Man, I'm living life. I got things to do this weekend. I'm not depressed at all. And as a talk show host, I got a hell of a lot to talk about. All right, if you want to join us, the Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. All right, on the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar, on this day, November 7th, 2015, presidential candidate Donald Trump hosted Saturday Night Live. The musical guest was Sia. You know, remember she's the singer that always had her hair down in her face, or she had something like mostly covering her face? Trump asked her for a photograph, and she said no. She didn't want her gay and Mexican fans to know that, or to think that she supported him, so she refused the picture. But yeah, Donald Trump was actually host of Saturday Night Live when he was a presidential candidate, which really made that whole controversy over Kamala Harris appearing on Saturday Night Live the other night just a moot point. I'm Scoot on the air, and we'll be back on WWL. Yeah, you know, this is a song from, you know, I think like 1970, the Youngbloods get together. It's a nice thought. Come on, let's, you know, get together. And that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen now. And we're continuing to talk about the aftermath of the election. And, you know, I accept the outcome of election, the election. America has spoken, and Donald Trump will be the next president of the United States. We will continue to follow his presidency. We'll talk about some of the things that are going to happen. For those of you who thought that Donald Trump was totally distanced from Project 2025, and that's one of the reasons that you thought it was safe to vote for Trump, you're going to see some things happen with Project 2025 right after he is inaugurated. The whole Heritage Foundation's Project 2025 was done by Trump allies, you know, people who know Trump, and they were planning for the day, the moment that he becomes president again. Well, that moment's here. So we're going to see the implementation of Project 2025. How will it affect you and your family? This is one of the many, many, many things that we'll be talking about over the next 4 years. Plus, we'll talk about other things as well, of course. Delaware State Senator Sarah McBride won the state's only House seat on Tuesday. She's projected to be the winner from the last projection that I saw from NBC News. Sarah McBride defeated the Republican 57.8% to, I don't know, whatever the other was, but she won 57.8% of the vote. She is the first transgender person to be elected to Congress. And she beat the Republican. Let's get to some of your text messages, and then we're going to get to some of your calls.
As you predicted, a lot of people reacted to Joe and Metairie's call with some pretty unkind words. I won't repeat them here, but including coming from his fellow Trump supporters and conservatives. So, you know, just let it be said.
Joe, if you're listening, Joe, I mean, you know, don't think you mouth off on this show and everybody agrees with you. I mean, people see you the same way I see you. They may have voted for Trump, but, you know, you're an extremist, and you don't speak for all Trump supporters. And not everybody has respect for you, has any respect for you. And we see it in the text messages.
Here's one, and then we'll move on. It says, I voted for Trump, and I still find it hilarious that these people, meaning Joe, are still pissed off with Kamala supporters even after the election is over. Moving on. Here's one that says, hey, Scoot, you use the word complex, which is a great word for a lot of these issues. Now, let me guess, everybody's going to be an expert on tariffs. If they were so bad under Trump, why did the Biden administration keep the same tariffs? Obviously, everything can't have tariffs, but in some instances, this will work. It's just got to be a certain amount on certain items because China also subsidizes a lot of things that they make, so it's a fine line. It's like taxes. What is the perfect amount that we should be at to get the most revenue but not lose businesses? Tariffs can help, but they can also hurt us.
Yeah, and when Trump talks about 100% tariffs, that makes a lot of people nervous. So again, you know, I'll give Trump the benefit of the doubt. Let's see what happens. And if what he does is extreme, we'll talk about that. If what he does is not extreme, we'll talk about that as well.
Here's a text that says, how does Scoot know that Project 2025 will be used after inauguration? Who told you? You spread rumors like everyone.
All right. If I'm wrong, I will be here and admit that I'm wrong. But I think it's going to happen. This 900-plus page project was not put together for nothing. Do you think that they did all of this? Do you think the Heritage Foundation put that whole thing together for nothing, just for fun, because they were all sitting around and they had nothing to do? They put it together to implement it when Trump becomes president. Trump's going to become president. In my opinion, I believe it's going to be implemented. If I'm wrong, I'll admit it, but let's wait and see.
I mean, it's not just the Heritage Foundation either. It's a whole coalition. It's a whole sprawling ecosystem. Almost every conservative think tank in the country, whether it's religious or economic or immigration or whatever, they've really got the entire conservative intelligentsia from Washington, D.C. It's all whittled down into this one 900-page document that was designed specifically for use on day one.
Yeah. So why did they do it? I mean, I'm not stupid. They did it for a reason. They did it if Trump wins, and Trump won. So I believe it's going to be implemented. And again, I will be here. And if I'm wrong, I'll be the first to admit it.
I think that's exactly right. If you and I turn out to be wrong about that, we'll eat crow. But I don't. It's not absurd or dishonest or disingenuous for us to expect that right now of the incoming administration, that they will at least in parts and pieces try to implement this. And they'll have to be discreet about it because they know how unpopular it is.
Well, for the record, I'm not eating crow.
Gross. Here's a text that says, Trump supporters are delusional. This country has a race and a sex problem, and that's why Trump is back in. End of story. Let's stop fooling ourselves. I'll be okay anyways, because for 37 years of my life, I had to get up and go work for what I wanted, and that's not going to change no matter what, no matter who's the president.
And that's right. Our lives are not going to change that much, even those of you who are in a dark hole right now. I mean, there might be some things that Trump does. And again, we don't know. But if he does certain things that he said he was going to do on the campaign trail, if he does those things, then it's going to rock America. And a lot of Americans are going to lose some rights. And so we'll talk about that, because we talk a lot about rights on this show. And that has gone on from the beginning of this show to now.
Here's a text that says, let's not fool ourselves. The election was about the economy or the policy. This election was about white people being afraid of losing their power in a changing world. Racist fears stoked by the right. Also, old and young men not believing that a woman of color, or any woman for that matter, was smart or strong enough to lead the country. And just for disclosure, I'm an old white guy.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of truth in that. I think it's sad, but I think it's true. And in some ways, the American psyche seems to be back where it was in 1964, when the Southern strategy was implemented to make white voters fear African Americans and what they were going to do to their wives and their daughters, and what they were going to do with their lives in terms of stealing property and stealing everything from them and taking their jobs. And, I think this is a big statement about racism and sexism in America.
Yeah, there was a person that called yesterday that says, that wasn't it. That's not why. And it's like, okay, maybe that wasn't it for you, but you don't get to say on behalf of the entire MAGA movement that there was no racism or sexism, and they can't miss me with that stuff. I've seen it. We've all heard it. You know, the say no to the ho T-shirts, the whole horizontal Harris thing, people saying she's not really black because she's biracial, people saying that she's a DEI hire. Those are racist, sexist attacks, and they came not just from him supporters, but they came from the top of the ticket. So do not sit here and tell me that we are just inventing the fact that racism and sexism played a role in this campaign. If you don't see that or you're embarrassed by that, good on you, but you're not going to gaslight us into thinking otherwise.
Yeah, and we'd love not to talk about that, but we have to talk about the truth, so we do.
Here's a text that says, hey, Scoot, I'm feeling better because I turned off all cable news. I'm worried about the country being led by a lying con man convict with vengeance on his mind, a love for dictators, and wrapping himself around with loyalists. I can't wait for a closed border, low inflation, and no wars, but I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what people believe is going to happen. That's what they told us. That's why you have to vote for Trump, because all these things are going to happen. But let's see if they actually happen, or let's see if these were just campaign promises. I mean, it's up to Trump to follow through on these things, and we'll see if he does. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
I'll leave you with this one. Tech says, I'm a pretty conservative person. I can't say that I've ever been emotionally affected by any election. In the reality of life, the president of the United States doesn't really impact our lives on a daily basis.
You know, I talked about this so often leading up to the election, and we can continue to talk about it now. Donald Trump won. My life has not changed. And even if Donald Trump does some of the things that he says he's going to do that I might disagree with, my life's not going to change that much. But as personalized as politics has become, some people just think that whoever is president has an absolute direct impact on their lives, for good or for bad. And it's simply not true. And you're going to see this when Trump is inaugurated next month. Now, since he won, there's not going to be any January the 6th. And just briefly, let me bring up this point of hypocrisy. For all those who have said over the years, yeah, well, look at those people. Look at those liberals who rioted and, you know, in 2020. Look at those people. You know, we don't do that. Well, should the Democrats say to you, so we lost the election. There's not going to be a January 6th because we don't do that. Do you see the hypocrisy? If you have a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. We're coming right back with more of your comments. I'm Scoot on the air. It is Thursday. Tomorrow we'll talk more about this, but it's LSU, Alabama at Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge. It's the Saints and the Falcons, and a lot of Falcon fans are going to be in town. I guarantee you a lot of Saints fans sold their tickets, and a lot of Falcons fans are going to be in town. They're in town anyway, but they're going to be in massive numbers, I think, this weekend, because the Falcons are doing well. They're kicking ass, and they're number one in the division. I don't like that, but I think that's going to bring a lot of Falcons fans here. I'll be talking about that more on the show tomorrow afternoon. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. Thursday afternoon, heading toward the weekend. I'm Scoot on the air. Let's get back to some of your calls. Let's go to Bogalusa. Abdul, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. How's it going today, bud?
Good, Abdul. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm going to start out with saying that this is strictly a political conversation, but I do want to start with some of the finances first. I figure you owe me about $59.60 for all the coffee and soda that I've spit up on my dashboard of my truck, everything you call.
Well, hey, listen, okay. That's a compliment, okay? I owe you that.
You don't. You are no more an independent. Just registering as an independent does not make you an independent. You're so left, you should be sitting on between Joy and Whoopi on The View. You make Rachel Maddow look like Laura Ingraham and Michael Moore look like Rush Limbaugh.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
No, it's not. I've listened to you for quite a while now. And I mean, you know, I listen to WWL. I've sat in your chair at one point, to be honest with you. I've been on the radio over there before. So I've listened to you for a while, Scoot. And just today, some of the things, if you say 99 bad things about about Trump, and then you say one good thing, or you agree with him about one thing, then you call yourself an independent. It doesn't work that way, Scoot. I mean, the tariffs. I mean, the stuff about the Project 25. You're gonna associate Trump with Project 2025. Well, why can't we associate Kamala with defunding the police? You've said that 1,000 times.
Kamala didn't defund the police. So Abdul, why don't you get to your point?
Well,
what's
my
point
is just that.
I mean, your point was to call up and tell me that you think I'm liberal? Is that what that was your point of calling?
I'm out of the liberal closet. I mean, just
Abdul, listen. Okay, so look, I'm not going to get deeply into this, but I'm going to simply say this for everybody listening, for everybody who thinks that I'm extremely liberal. I am for welfare reform. I am for smaller government. I am for lower taxes. I am for personal accountability. I am for allowing people to, as individuals, make decisions. That is conservative ideology. In a lot of ways, I'm very conservative. I am against people who are born as men competing in sports with women. I am for a lot of things that are intrinsically conservative. I am against some things that are intrinsically liberal. And I really don't feel the need to have to explain this every day. If you want to have an opinion of me, that's fine. But it's a waste of time to call the show and just spout off about how liberal I am. Because, I mean, if I really want to be liberal, I can be. I mean, there's nothing illegal about it, but I'm just being honest. I am a radical moderate, registered independent, and I'm conservative in many ways.
Every time somebody accuses you, Scoot, of being an extreme liberal or a radical liberal or to the left of Whoopi Goldberg, what they're actually saying, is that you are effective at telling the truth about Republicans and they don't like it. That's all that means. So this, you're an extremist, you're a radical. That's just shorthand for you're an effective communicator in a way that I cannot compete with. So the best option that I have is to falsely accuse you of being ideologically opposed to me, when really all you are doing is effective at telling the truth about me.
It's a great observation. And I mentioned earlier that Ian pointed out there was an article written about me and this show that went out on this national news service to, you know, radio stations and people who accept this news service around the country, national. We're going to post that on the Scoot on your Facebook page. And it's about me, and it's about the difficulty of a talk show host being honest and telling the truth rather than spewing out rhetorical stuff. I haven't said anything negative about Donald Trump. And when it comes to Project 2025, I've already said this. This was put together for the moment Donald Trump becomes president. He's going to become president. So why would they put this together if they're not going to implement it? I think I'm right. But if I'm wrong and we see no signs of Project 2025 in the next year, then I'll admit I was wrong. But I think I'm right. And I think we're going to see signs of this. And as Ian pointed out, they're going to do it subtly because it is so controversial. It is so revolutionary in terms of how it is going to change the government we have toward a biased government. I mean, even with the Justice Department and the FBI, a lot of people don't know what's coming. This is just my honest opinion of this. But for people to think that Donald Trump and that his allies have nothing to do with this, his allies wrote this. Why did they do it if they're not going to implement it? They didn't do it because, again, they had nothing to do. They were just sitting around. So I think there are things to be concerned about when it comes to Project 2025, not the least of which is the freedom that Americans should have to view pornography. That's not something I'm into, but a lot of people are into it. A lot of conservative Republicans are into pornography, and they should have that right. But under Project 2025, you could lose that right. I don't think you should lose that right as an American. So there are going to be things to watch. And I'm giving Trump the benefit of the doubt, and I accept the outcome of the election, and America has spoken. All right, if you're on hold, hang on. We're coming back with more of your comments, and this is going to go into the next hour as well. On the Scoot on the Rock Culture Calendar, this day in 1981, it was a huge hit for Hall & Oates. This was the number one song in the country. And the thing that made this song was the clapping. You know what they do? Yeah. That's what made the song. That's what made the whole thing. If it hadn't been for the clapping, I don't know that this would have even been a hit. But it was huge. And by the way, Private Eyes Watching You, you know, that's going to be kind of Project 2025 as well. So, you know, dismiss it all you want. I'm saying I think it's going to go into effect. And if I'm wrong, I'll tell you. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. Here comes. There you go. There's a clap. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar on this day in 1987, this was the number one song in America. 16-year-old Tiffany had the number one hit with I Think We're Alone Now. It was a cover of a 1967 song that I remember growing up from Tommy and the Shondells, I Think We're Alone Now. A lot of Tiffany's fans thought she wrote that song. They also think that she wrote, at the time, they thought that she wrote I Saw Her Standing There by the Beatles. It was a Beatles song, but she did a cover of it, and her young fans thought, oh, well, when you were writing that song, I saw her standing there. I saw him standing there. So she had to correct them. Elon Musk is going to play a very integral part in the Trump administration. Good or bad, We'll talk about that. And also, we'll talk about those who are celebrating, but those who have deep concerns, those who right now are living in a dark place because of the outcome of election. All that coming up in the next hour. If you want to join us, the Open Door Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870.